I think at one level, we all enter into relationships where we would go, well, this isn't that important, yet when it's happening over and over and over again and we're trying to work out why or understand why it's happening is when we start creating the other narratives. Does he really love me? What's going on? Is he using porn? Is he interested in somebody else? Does he not find me attractive? And I think it's the way we feel the lack of knowledge to explain what's going on is where the issues start coming in.
Warning. Adult content. The Hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
If you're having sex with a partner and they don't come, do you feel inadequate? Not coming during intercourse is usually something we associate with cis women while having sex with guys, but it's something that happens to a number of guys as well. It can leave the guy feeling unsatisfied and leave their partner feeling like they're not good enough, especially when guys are assumed to always finish. I'm Nat Tenchich, and soon you'll hear from a sex therapist on how this problem comes about and how you might be able to fix it. But first, Miles got in touch with us to say it's been a problem that's always affected him. He spoke to Hookup producer James Finlay.
It first happened the first time I ever had sex with my first partner. It would just be a thing that I'd either feel like, I don't know, I couldn't get off, or it would take me an extraordinarily long time to get off, to the point at which it was almost a rarity when I could.
So was it only during, like, penetrative sex, or how about jerking off? Was that always fine?
Yeah, that's always been fine. It's always been a bit of a thing of that. Yeah, when I'm by myself, I can get off okay, but I think I need the visual stimulus as well often.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to that in a sec. So have you had partners where you have been able to come during sex?
I've had times where I've managed to get myself to a point where I can quite easily, but it's sometimes will be few and far between, and there'd be sexual disparities in some of the relationships, and I was never really happy or satisfied at the same time.
Yeah. So would it be a difference between, like, long-term partners and one-offs or short-term partners, or it doesn't really discriminate?
Doesn't really discriminate, to be honest. It was quite a long-term partner where I did reach that point, but the relationship itself was kind of going downhill, so sex was such a rarity that I think it was almost I was capitalising on an opportunity more than anything at that point.
Yeah. You said before that you needed visual stimulus. I guess we'd be talking about porn then, yeah?
Yes.
And is there any specific porn that you'd watch or...?
Not really.
No.
I almost overloaded myself sometimes by watching four things at once.
You'd have four screens going of porn?
Yeah.
Wow.
You can split... I have a very big computer monitor and you can split it into three windows. You can split it into four windows and even have one just in the middle if you want five.
Yeah, totally. I get that. And would they, like, how would you set up the four screens? Like, would they be all doing the kind of the same thing at the same time, or would they be, you know, would you time it?
My eye at the time. It would just be whatever caught my eye at the time. Just, you know, I want to see everything and don't have enough life to do it in.
Yeah. Was it just kind of normal vanilla kind of sex that they're having, or were there any fetishes that you'd look up?
Oh, it could be anything. It could be anything. I have a number of fetishes, but, I mean, yeah, it could be literally whatever I saw at the time that made me click it.
And would some fetishes...
You don't have to be discriminate when you've got five screens going.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. When you were able to come with these partners, would you think about the porn that you were watching, or would you be kind of in the moment and not worrying about it?
Could be both. It could be sometimes if it takes a very, very long time, I'll be visualizing hard in my head just like whatever fantasy I've got going at the time. And if it's a short time, I might be entirely in the moment just enjoying what's going on because it's short enough that I can be entirely present for it.
And how has this affected your relationships when you haven't been able to come with a partner?
I've kind of come to accept it a bit now as just how I am, but had some partners where the sex life just kind of died, and I've had a partner who left me because she felt inadequate about it.
Yeah.
Like, it just made her feel like she wasn't worth it. And I've had partners who feel like they've hit the jackpot. There was a period in my life where I kind of went away for a couple of weeks doing a training course and was away from the internet, away from the computer, and kind of reset myself a bit in the process of that. And I came back and I went from never ever taking less than 45 minutes to generally consistently being about 15.
Yeah. And where would you like to be at?
I'm happy around 15, but like, I'd like to be able to still go 45 minutes but still have the relief at the end. But yeah. I'm also happy where I am now because, you know, I have an active enough sex life that if I don't get off one time, I might get off the next time, you know? I can live my life and there's always another opportunity. I don't feel as desperate now. I don't feel like I've got as much of a limit on the number of times I'm going to be able to have sex.
Yeah.
I'm in a better relationship now with a more active sex life, and I'm a lot happier for it because I feel as though I'm not limited in my opportunities now.
All right, well, let's see what the doctor has to say and we'll see if we can work this out.
All right. Fantastic.
Thanks for your time, Miles.
Okay, thank you.
Right there, that's Miles telling James Finlay, our hookup producer, about his issue with delayed ejaculation. We are talking about guys who maybe have a bit of trouble getting to the end. I'm talking about delayed ejaculation. Miles got in touch with his problem. It takes him ages to come. It's called delayed ejaculation, and to talk it through what causes it and how maybe you can get past it, we're joined by friend of the show, sex therapist Dr. Christopher Fox.
Good evening, everyone.
Hey, welcome back to The Hookup.
Thanks.
So we were listening to Miles' story and Ryan's just texted in too. This bloke sounds like my twin, except for the 5-screen visual setup. Yes, we did just hear that he's got himself like a 180-degree porn setup. You know, it's like a security office. Screen.
Surrounding himself in imagery, in complete imagery, and his brain's just on overload with this imagery.
Yeah, and so what impact does porn have on your ability to ejaculate?
First of all, I don't want to problematize porn. Porn itself isn't the problem. It's the way porn is being used that's creating an issue. And it's about the two things that happens when we view a screen. We're engaging in what's happening in the screen, so we're being mindless, not mindful. Mindlessness isn't necessarily a problem, but when this becomes the way of scripting your arousal, that's where it's potentially coming in to be a problem. So the screens potentially create a mindlessness, and then it's the level of stimulation that's happening because, of course, we have 5 different scenes or 6 different scenes playing out with different people, different actions, different sounds, different lighting. So our brain is actually registering all of these levels of stimuli at the same time that we're masturbating. And so we're creating an association, and then we go to have sex with a human being. And I'm sorry, but whoever I have sex with is never going to be able to recreate what those 5 screens have recreated or even what 1 screen can create. Mm. So it's not porn is the problem. It's the way that we're using porn that becomes the problem.
Maybe you have to have sex with strobe lights on or something.
Possibly.
Is there a problem too with being so outcome focused?
Good choice of words there, outcome focus.
outcome, come out.
there is another condition called retarded ejaculation where ejaculation happens internally. I think there is an issue with the way that we are focused on ejaculation. We put all of this energy and importance into this, well, often 5 mils or less of 5, you have sticky white fluid that's actually quite ammonic in taste often. That everybody then reacts to it. It's like, get it off me. So I think we focus so much on the outcome rather than the process. And we keep in our partner sex wanting to achieve orgasm and ejaculation. I mean, for women, we say it's 7 to 10 seconds. For men, it's about 4 to 7 seconds of pleasure. And we're putting all of this importance on this small amount of liquid and the intense feelings we have at that moment.
Mm. Why do we feel like we're not actually properly having sex until somebody ejaculates?
We've created a whole social myth around, you know, the money shot. Driving in, I was thinking of the classic 90s American porn where they would show the money shot, the ejaculation shot, and then it would show it again and show it again and show it again. It made it look like the ejaculation shot went on for about a minute. And we have so focused on the importance, because of course it's in ejaculation that we then in heterosexual sex are able to create life, and so that Judaic Christian idea of creating life plays into it. So we have all of these social messages running around the importance of ejaculation and getting there. And then of course, you know, partners, and I hear this all the time in therapy, you know, partners saying, but my partner doesn't love me, he doesn't ejaculate. And it's like, no, he doesn't ejaculate for lots of reasons, but it's not about how attractive the partner is or how much the partner is loved. It's just what's going on for the individual.
Mm. It's The Hookup on Triple J, Nat Tenchich with you, and we're here with sex therapist Dr. Christopher Fox talking about delayed ejaculation when guys just have trouble coming during intercourse. Jake from Adelaide joins us on the line. You called up a couple of months ago saying you had this problem. I believe when we were talking about how long sex should last. How's it going for you now?
Yeah, still pretty much the same, not going to lie. Still have very similar issues. I've gotten a lot more under control with it since I've been seeing the same partner for about 4 months now. When I initially called up, like, I've been struggling with that issue for a while, and then I took the advice given to me on the show, which was to just be open with my partner about the problems that I have. And funnily enough, she also had the same problems where she struggles to ejaculate as well. So.
Oh, to finish, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing to work on it apart from talking about it? Have you tried reducing your porn intake or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, well, personally, I haven't watched porn in, like, about 3 weeks to the point where it's almost probably going to get a bit unhealthy. we see each other quite frequently, so at the start, I guess it was okay. We just started to try different things, introduced like some toys. I guess we entered it without the expectation that either of us would ejaculate, rather than just expecting it the whole time. And I guess that takes a lot of pressure off us both mentally. You know, we do a lot of things that aren't just intercourse, a lot of foreplay. So sometimes, like, once I'm finished, I'll finish her off with, you know, my hands or, like, by other means rather than just penetration or intercourse.
Dr. Chris is nodding vigorously right now. It's like, yeah, you're getting it right, man.
But, like, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, it can still, you can do all these things and it can still cause, like, you still have these problems. Yeah, personally, I've had an experience only last week where I wasn't even able to get erect. And, you know, that's quite, like, it puzzles you for a little bit and you're wondering why. Personally for me, I guess it could be a combination of personal anxiety and substance abuse. And that's just sort of a vicious cycle. So to anyone who is having these problems, my advice would be to be really open and honest right from the start. Explore different ways of, you know, getting to that, I guess, that ejaculation point. We're trying to think of the scientific words or better ways to word it, but just find a different way to make each other come. And, you know, try to avoid things like lots of alcohol, or anything like medication-wise. Try to avoid any depressants, because they're really going to affect you not only mentally but also physically as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jake, thank you so much for calling and checking back in.
No, thanks for the call. Thanks for the advice. I'll be listening for the remainder of the show.
Cheers. Dr. Chris, yeah, you were nodding a lot during that. It sounds like Jake's pretty on the money.
Jake's Kind of, he's pretty much on the money. The first thing I want to say, though, it's really important if you are on any form of medication, please continue your medication and seek advice or support. Medications can impact our sexual desire, our sexual function, yet with therapy we can help you work around that and through that. Please don't stop your medications. But Jake is very much on task with the things he and his partner are doing. They're taking the focus off the ejaculation, off the coming. They're exploring ways of being more present with each other, and I think that's the really important stuff, is people working to be more present in the moment, present with each other, and also increasing stimulation of their body, using their body more, increasing their arousal levels. One of the things that I find with men with delayed ejaculation is that they have a rather unique masturbation style that often involves a very tight grip of the penis. And also often I find guys plank, and it's where their body sort of stiffen into a plank and all of their muscles become really super tight and, you know, legs stick out as they're trying to how do I put it, stroke their way, it's fisting their way to ejaculation. And you know, talking with guys, and they sort of sit in my clinic, in my office, and go, yeah, that's what I do. How do you know? It's like, yeah, this is one of the common things. And the tension's about trying to create the right body tension to get them off, because they can get to the point of no return but can't get over that point of no return. So in many ways, it's about getting people to relax into sex more and more, and being more present in that moment.
Mm. Ben says of this, I've had this problem since the first time I had sex. It didn't bother me at the start, but the more partners I've had, short and long term, it really weighs heavily on me, not knowing what to do, especially when a relationship ends because they can't make me come, which is a pretty, I think, like a pretty sad way to judge the value of your relationship, as you were saying before. Like,
I think it's really sad.
This little like 5 mil kind of
measure
of your relationship.
Yeah.
So being able to, I would say, like, would you say that they can, being able to be with someone who has a sense that this isn't all love really is, can help, even help you come?
Well, it definitely could help you come. I think at one level we all enter into relationships where we would go, well, this isn't that important, yet when it's happening over and over and over again and we're trying to work out why or understand why it's happening is when we start creating the other narratives. Does he really love me? What's going on? Is he using porn? Is he interested in somebody else? Does he not find me attractive? And I think it's the way we feel the lack of knowledge to explain what's going on is where the issues start coming in, particularly for partners, but also for men who experience this as well. So, yeah, I think it's really important we sometimes do shift the focus away from the whole gotta come sort of message. In the guy James was talking to, he was talking about sometimes thinking about porn. And again, this is a common thing for guys, you know, they want to get themselves over, so they think about other things that they find sexy to try to get them across the line, because they understand how important it can be for their partner. But of course, when they're doing that, they're going up into their head and leaving the situation. So it delayed ejaculation often becomes, as Ben wrote, a kind of self-reinforcing experience.
Mm. And on the topic of partners as well, and maybe where their expectations lie, had a text in here from someone anonymous, but that says, as a girl that has a partner that doesn't always come, it does sometimes make me feel like I'm not good in bed, or make me feel like I'm not as good as his past girlfriends. It was a bit of a learning curve for me over the past 3 years, but I've learned to accept that this is just how sometimes it is. But some days it can still bother me.
Exactly. And some days it does just bother the partner, and it is hard on the partner, because the partner's also got that responsibility of saying, it's not me, it's them, and reminding themselves that they're not the ones with the issue. And that can be really exhausting as well. And so I think it's going back and having open communication and honest communication, not just about love, but about what's going on in the relationship, and talking to each other so those feelings of distance don't occur.
Mm. And it is like quite similar to this person here too. And I know that we talked just before the song about the effect of antidepressants and certain medications and how you should do keep taking the medications that you need. But this text says that they have delayed ejaculation from antidepressants because they need them and it affects me, but their girlfriend feels ugly.
And it appears to be a catch-22, and here it's where seeking therapy can help both the individual and the relationship and the partner for that matter as well, working around how ejaculation can be achieved on medication. What happens with a lot of medications, antidepressant medications, is they reduce the threshold of experience of emotion. And, of course, sexual experiences often happen in extremes. So it becomes shortened or softened for some people sometimes. And so this is where it starts. And then it sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because people then start thinking about it. And when we're thinking about coming, we're not actually present in the moment. We're up in our head thinking about, are we going to ejaculate? And so it becomes, a complicated process that we try to pull apart with individuals. So I think the big message is learning to be more present in sex. Having mindful sex, for want of a term, may actually help in many cases.
Mm. It's The Hookup on Triple J. Nat Tenchich with you, and I'm still with sex therapist Dr. Christopher Fox, taking your questions on delayed ejaculation. Jamie from Footscray has texted in and has really kind of a left of centre one. Jamie says, I'm in a polyamorous relationship and can only come with my primary partner. It's rare for me to come with hookups or secondary partners. I'm not into anything different or kinky, and my other partners don't do anything that different from my partner. So what's happening? Why is it so difficult for me to come with someone else?
I think I'm going to suggest maybe because your primary partner is your most important person in your life, and you're focusing on your primary partner, and I am very gently going. I'm not speaking with great authority on this one, but going to suggest that maybe this is also an act of respect to your primary partner in a way. It's a different way of looking at it. I think it's a left of centre question and a left of centre response in many ways, because it's about our comfort. And although you're comfortable with the other partners, it's not the same as being with your primary partner. The fact that you identify a primary partner says there is a potentially a greater level of comfort there. So, yep, you're comfortable and you're kind of saving the best for the best.
Yeah.
Or the best for the most important.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot kind of going through your head when you're engaging in sort of in polyamorous relationships, but whether that guilt kind of plays a factor in it.
I wouldn't necessarily say there's guilt. I'd just say there's primary.
Mm.
I think it's focusing on the importance of primary.
Ben has asked a question here in terms of improving your ability to come or coming more quickly. Do fleshlights help?
Masturbation aids can help.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of different masturbation aids out there on the market. Yes, they can help, because what they often do is take our hands away from our penises, which means we're not having such a tight grip and we're changing the way our bodies are sensated or experience sensations. So in many ways, masturbation aids can help. And I often start guys off, if they don't use a lubricant, to use lubricant. And then I progress them on, for masturbation purposes only, not for actual intercourse, to put lubricant into the teat of the condom before rolling the condom onto their penis and masturbate with just a condom on their penis. Because, again, it creates sensation and it's different to hand-on penis.
Make a vagina happen if that's what you want.
Kind of. Rather than make a vagina happen, I'd be more inclined to say, let's find different ways to create sensations for the penis that don't necessarily involve hand-on penis or mimic either penis and vagina, penis and mouth, or penis and anus sex. So it's about creating greater sensation.
Another question here says, I've only ever had one sexual partner, my current partner. It'll often take me close to 40 minutes to come, while for her it's much easier. I take a lot of the pleasure away from her enjoyment and her climaxing if it is clearly having an effect on her. I mean, she says she's doing fine and she's often constantly trying to prolong how long she can last to keep up with him. Unfortunately, her doing this often makes it harder for me. Also wants to mention that he doesn't watch that much porn.
Yep. And look, porn, again, porn isn't necessarily the problem. It's what we do with porn for those that use a lot of porn. 40 minutes is an awful long time to be penetrating, to experience penetration. I would sort of suggest that at 40 minutes, a person receiving penetration is beginning to experience discomfort. For a woman at 40 minutes, even potentially losing lubrication, increasing discomfort, pelvic floor muscles are starting to tense up, creating discomfort. One of the things when I'm working with people, with men with delayed ejaculation, is that I sort of suggest at 15, 20 minutes, if ejaculation hasn't happened and their partner's come or is ready to come, allow it to happen, stop, let's move the focus away from having to ejaculate. Because again, you know, we often talk about penetration going 2 to 7 minutes. When we're hitting beyond 20 minutes, I worry about the discomfort for the partner. So maybe in that sense, rather than keep focusing, because then that becomes reinforcing, I've got to come, stop. Enjoy the pleasure of being together and allowing the body the time to sort of reset itself.
And another text in here that says, hey, my boyfriend can't finish from oral, never has. Any tips? That comes from Tasman in Sunshine Coast.
Hi, Tasman. I'm going to say no, I'm not going to give tips over the radio. And however, it's not uncommon for guys not to ejaculate through oral sex, and it's also not uncommon for guys not to ejaculate when somebody else masturbates them, because guys become habituated or used to their own hands. So, you know, two things I say to people all the time, oral sex and handies, don't worry about the ejaculation there. It's, if you're going to focus on the ejaculation, let's worry about intercourse, if that's where we're going to focus.
Well, Dr. Fox, I think we've learnt quite a lot tonight. Thank you so much for joining us on The Hookup.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If there's something you want covered on the show, send it in via The Hookup at abc.net.au or via Facebook. Just search for The Hookup on Triple J. Plus, if you're loving what you're hearing, give us a rating wherever you find your favourite podcasts. It'll help other people find the show.